right. Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Well, Coach, we had another interesting week of news and information. We got to share with our audience. Just keep coming, man.
I can't even catch up.
I know it.
I was doing my homework and my research. The governor dropped her little state of address.
Yeah.
Then as soon as Biden got in, he was like, executive order, executive order, executive order, executive order, executive order, executive order, executive order.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to undo what was done before he took office, man.
Man, what flipped everything for me was when the stock market, with a famous place called GameStop and AMC.
Right. Somewhat stocks that have not been in the news much in lately, right? Everything's been Amazon, Microsoft, you know, most of your tech companies.
Right. So what's this situation? I was reading into it, but I'm like, somebody got some inside information or like, was this like a plan to make the stock go up as high as it went up and now you can't buy no more or it's not listed on the apps
it's
anymore?
No, it's still listed. You can still purchase it. It's an issue that it's been around for years, and it's called shorting stocks, right? Some of the day traders, larger investors, they'll be looking at a particular stock at the price, and they'll say, okay, that stock will not sustain that price. It's going to go down. So they're going to bet on it. By shorting that stock, they might buy 1,000 shares of it. Well, we're just using an example of $10 per share, and they think that it's going to probably drop to 5 or 6. And so when the margin call comes, they'll make money because now they can, you know, get that stock for $5. That's a short. But if that stock goes up, now you're on the hook for the difference. Okay? So they bought it at 10 and it went to 100. So like that's 1,000% increase. At that point when that margin call comes, they got to come up with the money to pay for that stock price where it is at the margin call. And basically that's what happened with GameStop. Everybody figured that it's a brick and mortar. With the pandemic, people are not getting out. They're not going into, you know, stores like they used to. Amazon was the big player. The Microsofts were the big players. The Zoom, everything was based around not being in the public.
Right.
A lot of the small investors, a lot of your Robin Hood type investors, decided they'd take a chance on it. So millions of people purchased this stock at this low price, and it's basically drove the price of the stock up. So all these large institutions is trying to figure out what's going on. Well, these small time investors through, you know, like your Facebook, Snapchat, whatever, talked about getting this stock price up, in which it happened. That stock, the 52-week low for GameStop was $2.57. It closed yesterday at $483. That's incredible. So if those people that went in to short that stock at $5, they're on the hook now for over $480 per share. And if you do 1,000 shares, do the math, and you'll see where these people are really concerned about their liquidity in their brokerage accounts. Because now, you basically got to come up with that money to pay the difference. And absolutely, the stock went back down today. But they're still on the hook for that. As a whole, the market took a hit yesterday of almost 600 points. But most of that came back today. So there's a lot of volatility in the market, and there's a lot of reasons why. Not only from the investor side of the equation, but because of these variant coronaviruses that are starting to pop up. So they had the UK variant. They had the South African variant.
I heard that's a monster.
The South American.
I heard that's variant. A monster too. Them right there, I heard them two are a monster right
and now. They're starting to, you know, rear their ugly heads throughout the United States. So the question is
about 300 cases.
About 300. And you mean, you know, COVID-19 started out with small amount of cases, right? Okay, so
I need to be in one spot with a lot of people and it's over.
Right. And they're afraid because this one here is supposed to be more highly contagious. So before they were saying wear a mask, now they're saying double mask.
Yeah, I heard Fauci say that today.
Yeah. Double mask. In hopes of, you know, not contracting the this variant of the coronavirus. So I think the market was a little bit shaken behind that information as to what it would do to the economy, where some states are starting to open back up, like the state of Michigan, right? Saying that February 1, you can probably have limited capacity of restaurants, 25%, movie theaters, bowling alleys, and that kind of thing. So they're a little bit shaky about where this economy is headed if they don't get a handle on the vaccination, which they found out that we're short on the projection as to the number of people that will be vaccinated. That's not happening. All 50 states are behind on that curve. So there's just a lot of things that's got the market nervous right now.
Man, that's rough. I wonder, and I look back, you know, with the old administration being in, he gonna have his 2 cents to say if we don't get this right.
You know, he can say it, but it really won't matter. It won't amount to a hill of beans for the simple reason that the last 2 months of his administration, they never even talked about coronavirus. All they talked about was the election being
cheating.
Stolen.
Yep. Cheating.
Right. So they have no skin in the game when it comes to talking about what some of the shortfalls are for getting this virus under control. And one of the things that Biden's administration has already done is put Fauci back out there in the forefront. All right.
Yes.
Where he is now speaking freely on national TV. We're back in the World Health Organization because we can do all the things that are required to get this under control in America, United States. If you don't take a look at the third world countries as far as trying some way to get those folks vaccinated, it's only going to be a short-term event where we do stop the tide of the vaccine of the virus, right? But if these third world countries can't control it, it ultimately is going to wind up back in this country again, unless you close all your borders. Okay,
that goes into one of the first executive orders that Biden passed, and it was the executive order to promote racial equity. Some people think it's about money. It's about like what you just said.
Yeah, around the world.
Yeah, around the world. Vaccinations.
Yeah.
It's showing you about to see the disparity of equity throughout this globe as the vaccination is spreading. If he didn't sign this bill, how many countries would have been left out? How many cultures would have been left out?
That's absolutely right. And they got to take a look at those countries, right?
Those poor places, you got to take a peek at them. Because if you don't, virus get there. They wipe out a whole country.
And it's going to spread back into the United States because people are going to travel.
And then, like I said, the word mutate,
yep.
So if it's in a place and it's contained, it's mutating, and we're not putting no money there, we're not thinking about social equity, we're going to get a variant that we can't even imagine.
And that's the big question now is, they did the work to get to where they are with the vaccine. Is this vaccine really going to be effective with these other mutant variants of the virus?
Now I heard Fauci mention like, yeah, we good. But, you know, you got to say that when you own the patent on the vaccination.
Yeah. You got to say that until proven different.
That's right.
Okay.
Only 300 cases. You're like, well, hurry up and get everybody vaccinated. We'll deal with that 300 cases.
Yeah.
But don't mess my patent up because I'm getting paid. I'm already making $400,000 a year, and I respect him for making what he's making because he got the idea and the concept. He's supposed to be your top paid when you're doing your thing. But then, you know, you got a patent in the game. If your patent ain't working and they say, oh, this vaccination don't work, now you're proving that your practice don't work as a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. You will be questioned as to the validity of your expertise.
And that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah. But I would rather go down that road than the road that the prior administration was going down, was to ignore it and hopefully to go away, right? That was one of the comments that, okay, we're going to wake up one day and it's going to be gone. Well, that day never came. So you got to address it. And I think, you know, right, wrong, indifferent, you got to tell people to take the vaccine and see what happens. Yeah. If that mutant variant is, you know, immune to the current vaccine, then we'll have to find that out. But you don't want people not to take the vaccine. That's my opinion.
Yeah. So another executive order he passed was proclamation ending the U.S. ban entry from majority Muslim countries. And then in sports, you got your first Muslim coach with the New York Jets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The old San Francisco, I think, defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He's the head coach of the Jets.
And he's a Muslim by religion?
He's a Muslim, yeah, by religion. In New York, 9/11, place of 9/11.
Didn't know that.
Okay. So,
yeah, well, you know, there's a lot to be said about lifting that restriction. It's just like with us, right?
Yeah, all black people ain't bad. All Muslims not bad. Come on now.
Thank you.
I don't trust no black people. He can't come in my neighborhood. He can't work with me. No, that's...
Yeah.
That's not fair to nobody.
No, it's not, man.
For one, I'm going to say this. People that are Muslim, they bring a lot of things to our country. Like, I look at the Islamic faith as a democracy. For me, it's like be able to understand all men for what they believe in. I respect that. I respect some of the things they do. So in that capacity, it's like, why should I ban somebody that I respect, that they are disciplined in something?
Right. If our intelligence organizations are doing their job, right, identifying who those potential terrorists are, and make sure that we identify them and make sure that all the various organizations are aware of it, the TSA, Homeland Security, and make sure that they stay out of this country, then you got to do that, because a lot of them bring good things to this country.
I'm going to say this. I've never been afraid of a Muslim. No. I have been afraid of some pickup trucks late at night.
Okay. Now.
Now, we got ingrown.
We got homegrown terrorists right now.
Born in this country.
Just heard on the radio that there are politicians that are afraid for their lives now.
Boogeyman chasing them, what they call them? The Boogeyman crew?
Yeah, Boogaloo.
Yeah.
The Boogaloo.
Boogaloo. Come on, man. What's
Proud Boys, Boogaloo. There's all kinds of factions of the
hate groups.
Supremacist hate groups, the Nazis. There was a show the other night on PBS. And you and I both, you know, we are fans of that particular network. And it was talked about the carnage of Donald Trump. And what they basically laid out was the parallels between him and Hitler. How Hitler used rhetoric and lies to control,
yes sir,
that base. Okay. And he took that right out of his playbook, man, and used it in this country, and was effective.
Man, I'm gonna share this with you.
Extremely effective.
And the word you're using is propaganda. So that's how Hitler came in the game.
Yep.
I studied the Holocaust for years, and trying to make sure I teach my students that, because the most recent way of mass suppression of people that's always been suppressed is African culture. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the most advertised one is the Holocaust.
The Holocaust.
So if you any culture, you want to stand behind the Holocaust and put a mirror up to that one for yours, so you can see some relevancy, because they lost a lot of people.
Man, millions.
But they figured out a way to bring the social equity back into finances for them, even though they lost a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Now, we still struggle in the struggle of Emancipation Proclamation.
Yes, sir.
All that. But when you look at Jewish culture, you look at NBA teams, banks. They know how to...
Jewelry companies.
Yes, right. They know how to use collective economics.
Yes.
That's the spiritual thing for them. But going forward, I say, okay, Holocaust. Then I say, okay, what's the next thing in my lifetime that I know about? Oh, the Civil Rights Movement. Oh, Jim Crow South. That would be a mirror to the Holocaust.
Yep.
But then a mirror to the Jim Crow today is the pandemic and the Black Lives Matter issue.
Mm-hmm.
So if our kids, I don't know what that's like. Yes, you do. You know what it's like, because you got to think, like, they running into the Capitol like that.
Okay.
And we watching, you know, kids watching that on TV, like, they posted, them police got them MAGA hats on. They cheering with them. No, they supposed to protect and serve me. So it's like all these mixed messages being sent to you, people scaling the wall. It almost looked like an episode off Batman.
Okay.
And the Joker was like leading them.
Yeah, it was like a movie. Yeah. Like a day for a movie, man.
I thought I was watching Marvel or DC or something.
Out of all the protests or whatever that we've maybe had in this country, no group has ever thought about taking on the Capitol building of the United States of America. You got to have people just jacked out of their minds to be able to be willing to do something that discreet, man.
Look, I'm going to give you this one, though. Like, we think about this. If they'll blow a mass, if they'll blow a mosque up.
Oh, burn a church down.
If they blow a church down with kids in it.
Burn it up, yeah.
So why not burn another building down or attack a building that's supposed to, because when you talk about politics, it's supposed to be where the politician's supposed to uphold the biblical laws with the legal law of the land and make them transparent where they are lined up so we can govern our citizens to a better well-being to live together in unity. Okay. So when I think about the Capitol building, these places, I look at them as sanctuaries and churches to myself. Absolutely. Like, I value those buildings. Like, oh, nobody's going to the Capitol building. It's a special place. So, like, when they raided, I was like, how could you?
Connect the dots on this thing is the Constitution along with the biblical principles, right?
Yes, sir.
So when you are sworn in as a senator or a congressman, what's used as the instrument for the swearing in?
The Bible. It's the Bible. That's right.
And on the Bible, you swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. So, like you just said, they are connected and they're built on each other. And these guys basically have disregarded that whole element of what they've been hired to do, man.
This is
more to this than I think the general, the average person, if they haven't really took a deep dive into this whole Trumpism type thing, it's really scary. It is really scary that in 2021, we are dealing with a group of people that are not afraid to commit some type of a mass massacre.
Yeah, so what about this one? The executive order incorporating undocumented immigrants back into the census. What would that do?
Well, before, it's about the count, right?
Right.
It's all about the count. And a lot of the immigrants were afraid to give that information because they felt like under that prior administration, they would send the ICE people in there and they'd take them out, pick them in the middle of the night and deport them back to whatever country they come from. So these people they're not being counted. So that means you lose out on federal tax dollars based on the population of the community that you live in. And like a Grand Rapids, and we have a fair amount of a Hispanic community here in Muskegon as well. But the larger cities, right, especially down in the southern borders, Texas and California, there's quite a few that probably are undocumented and don't want to be counted in fear of being deported back. So that's basically taking that off out of the playbook. That we won't use this against you if you're undocumented, but we still need to know what the numbers are in this particular region.
Wow. So it's just like, man, then I seen him also sign another bill for housing fairness for like $15,000 on a down payment. A certain percentage of the city set aside to build new homes that are affordable. So I started looking at our city, Muskegon, as a whole. And I'm like, hold up, are we building enough properties? I see Community Encompass doing their thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But as a county, are we doing the right thing? I don't think we are. Mm-mm. I think we're in trouble. I think we're following Trump's book.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to backtrack some of those projects that we're doing, county commissioners. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. I'm saying this on radio because it's like you're walking into some trouble. You're building properties for people that's coming to vacation in our city, and you don't have percentages set aside that are affordable for professionals or families in our city. You got to get into some trouble.
Gentrification, right?
Yep. You're about to get into some trouble. I'm telling you, that's what that bill was signed by Biden. So backtrack, try to figure out how you could fix it, because there's a new president in town. He not playing.
No, he's not. He's doing And there's going to be another group of people that's going to fight that tooth and nail, totally against it. But when you look at the landscape of the general public, for those that will benefit from these types of rulings, it is going to be more than those that are against it.
Oh, exactly.
Okay, because old dude used to talk about, saving the suburbs. I passed the bill that you know, going to keep these people out of your neighborhood.
Yeah, he did say that.
Okay, and again, that's nothing but cold words, man. That's all that is. It's cold words, rhetoric, and fear. He put fear into those people, but it's what they wanted to hear.
Yep. So you know, we talk about finance. He paused student loan payments until September 2021. So you still off the hook for the student loans. So, but when you look at that, you think about that, you're like, okay, that's longer time. What he's doing is he's buying himself time to not write off everything.
Nope, not going to happen.
And put the authority on somebody else to make a decision. It's going to be a certain amount. So I'm going to leave that at that. I already see it coming. That's why he pushed it back further. Because that's what you did. He was like, hey, I'm just going to defer this. I'm just going to forbear. So he's doing a national forbearance. That's all he's doing.
Yeah. He got a lot on his plate, man. Yep. He got a lot of ways he's got to work. And some of these, like you say, that was a good move by just putting that off for now.
Yep.
But it will be addressed later this year.
Because I think 1 out of 5 people are default. So you like, y'all waiting. So as soon as he push that button again.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be criteria too involved in who actually can receive any kind of relief from their student loan debt. Yep. If you've just been a deadbeat, I don't think you're going to qualify.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for him, I've been seeing his thing that he's wanting to get done is executive order for expanding access to COVID-19 treatments.
Yeah. Yeah. The prior administration really never put anything in motion other than to say that they came up with the vaccine at warp speed.
Yep. I want to say this, Tony, like, it's crazy on how we got like a health system, right? And then we got a business system. So we got a business system trying to figure out how to administer the health system's job.
Yep.
That's going to always be a mistake.
Yep.
Why the health system just couldn't get the vaccination? But when you got a patent, when you got a company.
Yeah. Logistics. And logistics means, you know, from a production standpoint to actually getting this out to the public, right? That's always been a part of commerce is logistics. How do you do it?
How you get it fast.
That's why Amazon has been so successful, is that they understand logistics, right? So if you really wanted to figure this thing out, those are the kind of people that you should have brought in to sit down and talk about, okay, here we are. We're at a production point with the vaccine. But we need to merge this production with the medical community. How do we make that happen in a timely fashion? And you just, you know, if you don't have the expertise of making it happen, you're probably the wrong person. So, you know, you're absolutely right in saying that the business side is trying to take on the medical aspect of it, but they should have went to Bezos and said, hey, we need some of the best people that you got to come on board to help us make this thing work.
With the logistics, you're right.
With the logistics.
Because he got the logistics now.
Okay.
He don't even need the
post. Overnight.
He don't even need the post office.
Nope. What you want? You can have it next day.
He can ride around with the doctors in the Amazon van, and I bet everybody be on because they think they're getting the package.
Right. Okay.
I got your shot in this package right here. So you know, your arm sleeve up.
And that might be part of helping reduce the problem if you put in some kind of a mobile system, right?
Yeah, put somebody in the Amazon van.
And we come into this community and we're going to go door to door, and we got a qualified individual. Don't have to be a doctor, administer a shot, but you got to have some kind of a medical, you know, training in order to do it.
Open your door, we stick in your arm, see you later.
Yeah. It can happen. It can happen. They just got the wrong people, man.
Yeah, they got the wrong people. What about this one? Look, executive order to end the reliance on private prisons.
That's big. That's huge. And we've talked about that years ago, our show about privatization of the penal system.
I was invested in it at first, and I felt guilty. I switched the money out of it. I was like, I can't.
Okay.
I did for a minute, Tony. I did go with it, but I started thinking. I was like, they capitalizing on people that look like me.
Yeah.
So and I did it about 3 months, and I jumped out. So I'm going to be honest, audience. I thought, I was like, well, that's their fault. No, it ain't their fault. Because you see a lot of people go to jail. They didn't even do nothing.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of them, like the one up in Baldwin, it's held for a lot of illegal immigrants. Okay.
So are they really illegal?
Yeah.
Or they Jim Crow? New Jim Crows?
Under the prior administration, if they were here illegally, and if they committed any kind of a crime, I don't care what it was, they've locked them up. And they didn't put them in the in the state prisons. They built these private prisons, and that's where they are.
I'm gonna give you an example. Like it's like I, for us, you know, coming from the urban dynamic, I look at the comics. The comics are best way to tell pain and the financial struggle for all people. Comics do a great job of doing it, right?
Okay.
So Mike Epps has this stand up where he's like, he's talking about this ESL, English as a second language person gets pulled over, right? And the person, the police pulls him over and say, the person did not speak English.
Right.
The only thing they knew was smile and yes, you know, like. So it was, Mike Epps is the comedian. So he pulled, said the police, state trooper pulled this guy over and he said, what's your speed? Yes. He's smiling like, yes. Do you know? Was you drinking? Yes.
Right.
Do you have a driver's license? Yes. Get out the car. No. So my thing is, when you get somebody that's in a situation that they don't understand, I have to put myself in that context. I prefer to the comic because once upon a time, African Americans were done the same way. They couldn't read signs. A right to be able to read and write on land. If you went to a gas station, spent over $20, they would have kept it.
Okay.
If you had any change. And my dad taught that same way too. Like, spend all your money in the gas station. I'm gonna give you this. Make sure you buy it. Spend all the money. I'm like, why was it like that? Because he come from the Green Book era of driving down south on the back roads.
Okay.
And never stopping. And then always filling up and spending all the money, so there won't be no change.
Mm-hmm.
They was gonna keep it and it was gonna call the police if they had to give you some change.
Great analogy.
So I'm like, oh, that's why. So then the contrast now is you got these undocumented people, and you're like, well, we got this private prison system. How's them that? We giving them 3 beds in the cot. It's better than what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can track what they're doing.
But we as taxpayers, now we have to pay these huge bills that these private companies are charging the federal government.
To house these people.
To house these people.
Illegally.
Basically illegally.
It's cheaper to let them go, see if they can pass a citizenship test, right?
Mm-hmm.
Naturalization, become a citizen,
mm-hmm.
make a working wage,
yep.
have somewhere to stay if it's subsidized or not, and be a productive citizen to have some of them jobs that some of y'all ain't gonna do at all.
Thank you very much.
And I'm telling you, I got friends that are undocumented, that came in this country, mm-hmm. that are kids or parents like that, and they doing well off. They're registered nurses, they are college graduates, they are believers in the Christian faith, they have worked hard to get to their levels, and they've done those meaningless jobs to get to better spaces.
Yeah. I mean, this past summer, you know, when they put in the ban, there were crops that had to basically go rot in the field in Michigan because there weren't enough people to go out and harvest the fields.
I know, I'm not going to mention his name, but I knew some farmers that had some blueberry fields had to sell them. So I can't
operate it.
Man, my whole crop's poor. I'm like, what happened? I'm at the YMCA before it closed. Man, I ain't had no workers. They took all my workers away.
Mm-hmm.
They ran them all off, tried to arrest them.
Yeah. Those are the folks that was harvesting the fruits and vegetables, not only in the state of Michigan, but California, Texas, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama. You just go right down the list. These are the people that was performing those tasks and not getting the wage that an American would demand. Okay? That's what happened. So they didn't do the farmers of the United States any favors unless you could afford to buy the machines that could go out and harvest the the products and the crops. So a lot of those that are not that advanced, they still depended on the human labor to come in and pick their crops.
What about this one? Look at this one. I was like, hold on. Because I always look at this group as the model minority now because high tech is big. Executive order denouncing the anti-discrimination of Asian, the Asian culture, and xenophobia. So when they talk about, the Kung Flu.
Yep.
That's the Chinese disease.
The China virus.
Yeah, so
the
I'm China like, virus. That's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a special on that the other night as well, and they talked to those people that had really felt the wrath from some Americans. Because of the rhetoric that was being spewed out of the White House.
So,
and it's wrong.
When I went through my accident and I was going through my rehab, my doctor referred me to this place that does the acupuncture.
Oh, okay.
The Asian massages. So I'm going there. The doctor's like, they do real well, go there. They do the acupuncture, and they'll help you with your pain. I've been going there for 3 years, and they haven't had no illness, nothing.
Okay. Wasn't treated, you know, in a way that you felt discriminated?
No. They like okay. Bob. Dave, if they cooking food, I'm going back there eating every time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I refer friends to them, my wife, everybody. I'm like, they know me by first name. They're like, oh, like you've been coming here that long. Like, you're doing so much better. You're helping so much better. So I'm like, when that came out, I talked about that with my people. I was like, what do you think? Say, yeah. I said, Chauncey, but look. It's just like, that's how the way the world is. I said, sometimes you work so hard and you try to earn the things you earn, and people that are privileged think that you don't deserve the hard work you put in.
Yep.
So that, and I was like, wow, I ain't never thinking about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Say, privileged people sometimes don't think you deserve to be in a spot that you working so hard for. So he was like, look at you. You're an educator. Say, look where you come from.
Just, hey, man, when racism, basically, if you're not white,
you're not right.
That's everybody, you racist against everybody.
Yep, you ain't white, it ain't right.
That's white supremacists, they don't like nobody.
If you brown, it's going down.
Okay.
If you ain't white, it ain't right.
Man, you know, it's a shame, man.
But I got brothers and sisters that are my white, I don't even say counterparts, that are my white brothers and sisters that understand the fight.
Yes.
But then it's those that don't.
And they don't.
I'm going to say it like Muhammad Ali said it when he was, I think Johnny Carson used to interview him all the time.
Yeah.
And he used to say, hey, why you hate white people? He's like, no, I don't hate white people. He said, let me just do a little lesson for you. He said, and you probably remember this. He said, all right, it's 1,000 snakes in a room. And 100 of them are not poisonous. And I'm in the middle of the room and they're surrounding me.
Mm-hmm.
If 5 rush me, do I say, oh, I'm not worried about those 5. They might be the 5 that are not venomous.
Okay. You can't make that call. You don't know.
You don't know. So you have to always lead with God in mind and keep the values and principles in front of you that your family, your forefathers passed down to you, and just take people for who they are and based on the love that you have in your heart. But that's what I got that Johnny Carson meet.
Yeah.
You always got to understand the balance. Because going forward, I think we're in an uncivil war that's about to happen.
I totally agree. And it's unfortunate that is happening in this country, because, you know, to me, it's still the greatest country on the face of the earth. But it only took one person to undermine all the accomplishments that have been made by all races. OK, not just black folks, but a lot of people, all races, Indians who we took this country from. And then you got people to say, well, go back where you come from. Yeah. Well, they need to be looking at themselves, because none of them was actually, their forefathers were not in this country.
Yep. I've been around people that thought Native Americans were immigrants.
Come on.
I'm like, what?
Come on.
I was like, what you say? And we're talking about professional people. Like, that's people sad. That are like career specialists or like, yeah, those immigrants.
No.
How's he an immigrant? How's he? He got more right to this country than you.
Okay.
Do.
It was there first.
So, yeah, man, we can talk about this stuff all day. We are a financial show.
And
but
we're going to get, you know, all these things ultimately do affect you from a financial standpoint.
Man, all these things do.
Okay. You got to understand where you're at and where you're going. And this is just information to help you get prepared for that journey.
Yeah, because as you're making decisions towards investments, if Biden was against fracking, but he's for solar energy and wind power, what'd that mean for you?
Yeah.
Gas price is about to go up because it's not going to be a high demand in certain areas because fracking gone. Or if you're a pipe fitter and you was working with the fracking, what's the next energy you're going to move over to?
Yeah.
Is AI, artificial intelligence, going to be big? Remember, whatever president is in, it's not your job to judge. It's your job to figure out what angle and where does your career fit in this big scheme of things. And I'm going to say this. I'm coming from Ray Dalio's book with Principles in Life and Business. He said he went on a safari to Africa and he saw some wild hyenas attacking a buffalo. Mm-hmm. And he said his heart dropped and he felt so bad. But then he thought, he said, what a herd at?
Okay. He was alone. He was alone.
He said, buffalo usually travel with herds. Yep. Why is he by himself? So he said, you got to start looking at things for the whole thing. Because mm-hmm. you're not going to be looking at the hyenas like, oh, look at those skinny hyenas. They don't even eat no more.
Right. They all die from starvation. That's just a natural law, right?
That's in, it. That's what we got to function on.
It's a natural law, man.
We got to function on natural laws. Stop pointing the finger. Stop blaming. And stop trying to get credit and figure out this is the right thing to do.
Yep.
And then the things that you're doing wrong, fix them. Like your credit, like your decisions, your relationships, the things you're doing at your job and those spaces. And then when the good come to you, you'll be able to keep the good.
You'll be ready. You'll be ready.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.